Would you turn your Bibles to Matthew 25? Glory to God. That was confirmation. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 25. I want to welcome everybody here tonight. You're not here because of your own accord. You're here because God drew you. Amen. There's a purpose and a will. No man comes to the Father except for through God. That means God is drawing us. Amen. And there's an important area in our life where God is drawing us because, you know, time is running out. And I think I shared Sunday, but I had a vision Sunday morning, and I saw the Lord in a river holding back the river. And He was ushering His children through, holding back the river, telling them, come on, quick, 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 in other words, because He holds space and time, but He's not of space and time. He was holding time back. It was holding back the river was a representation of the dispensation of grace, where we are in the fullness of grace. Grace is a representation of God holding back His judgment towards man. And so in this era, He was ushering and rushing His children through this river that He stopped so that the children could go across it and get going. And He was like, and it was like going, I kept seeing Him going, come on, come on, come on. Like He was a big daddy with a bunch of little kids just going, come on, come on, get across, come on, hurry up. You know, I felt like almost in a sense where when the Jews were going across the Red Sea, when He split the Red Sea, and they were getting across, you know. And it was about going to the promised land. Amen. And I believe that God is ushering in so many things right now that, you know, your carnal mind can't comprehend it, and that's okay. The main thing we got to do is continue to hold on to Him, because we won't understand everything, and God is not asking you to understand everything. Amen. He's just asking you to hold on to Him and trust Him all the way through it. And there are certain things that, you know, we've got to cooperate. I mean, He can say, come on, come on, come on. You can stand there like a bone and go, what? You know, and not do anything and get caught up on all in the worldly things and not listen to what the Spirit is saying and come across the river. Because once He lifts up, once He moves out of that river and that river flows again, you're either on one side or the other. Amen? And what we want to do is get to the other side. And in Matthew 25, and starting at verse 1, it says, in the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And this is what we call boneheads, right? Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, in other words, Christ, the bridegroom, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, and he said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. So watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, that's a very powerful statement. He said, this is liking the kingdom of God. Now, you got to understand the word virgin means believers. So he's talking to all believers. Amen. And some of them were ready and some of them weren't. And it's wild because the ones that weren't ready went to the ones that were ready and they said, hey, let us get some of your own. And they said, no. You know what they were saying? No, go make your own meal. Hello? Saying, go make your own meal. See, this is where Jesus said, who do they say that I am? And many of them said, well, Isaiah or Elijah, prophets, this, that, whatever. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? See, he brought it down to between you and him. Who do you say that I am? And in this era where we are standing in the time and present place, God is saying to each and every one of us, who do you say that I am? In other words, are you a foolish virgin? Are you a wise believer or a foolish believer? And one of the things that you and I must do to maintain, the Word says, as a man thinketh, so he is. In other words, what you eat is what you are. And we have a teaching on that. We must consistently feed or be fed. See, your spirit needs to be fed. Do you understand that? You need to be fed. And in this era of being fed, where Christ is being formed in you by what you eat, there are times when you've got to start going and growing to the era where you begin to make your own meals. Amen? Not just going to church to get fed. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that's good. But for you to grow, you must be able to make your own meals. For you to grow and to go, you must learn to make your own meals. Is everybody with me? You know, if people would start making their own meals, they wouldn't struggle so much. Amen? Now, there's a time and a place for everything. We get babies in Christ that have to be fed. A baby can't feed itself, can it? But after a period of time, that child, that baby begins to mature. And in that place, that child must grow to an arena in its life where he's got to or she's got to be able to feed him or herself. Amen? Is everybody with me? Hello?
Hello?
Make your own meals is tonight's teaching. Making your own meals. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Praise you, Lord. In verse 23. Is everybody there? Yeah. Read it with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Hallelujah. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup, the new covenant, in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Jesus said, eat me. Eat me. Eat of me. Eat this. Eat my flesh and eat my blood, or drink my blood. Amen? Now the blood is a representation of the Spirit. The flesh is a representation of the Word. He said, listen, I am your meal. One of the things we need to do is learn how to make meals. Did he not say, eat of my flesh? Right? When you eat, remember what I've done. Is everybody with me? Remember that. So for us to remember the things he's done, and said, as often as you eat. In other words, it's just not once in a while. It's often. Now he's talking about communion, but I'm talking about something different here now. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood. Jesus said, I am the meal you desire. Don't make this, if you don't make this meal right, it could kill you. That's where the Word says, Now listen, the letter killeth and the spirit what? Brings life. See, this is where incorrect teachings, incorrect making of meals and putting something together. Did you ever make something and forgot an ingredient and you blew it? It's like, man, it just tastes like garbage. You know why? Because when you put a meal together, there is a recipe, there's a makeup that goes together. And we want to talk about certain things about making a meal, where God teaches you how to make your own meals. So many times people have a hard time. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to feed myself. Well, it's time we learned how to feed ourselves. Amen? And get the right ingredients so that the meal tastes good. Hallelujah. You know, this meal that you're going to make will fill you, will heal you, will deliver you, will encourage you, will position you, and will free you, depending on the meal you make, or it will get you sick. One or the other. But we must learn to make our own meals. Have you ever gone somewhere and it just seemed like, man, the meal that's trying to be fed to me just ain't right. It's like you're looking for meat on the bone and there's nothing there. It's nothing but bone. It's dry. Very dry. It's because the ingredients were not put together correctly. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 3. Now when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Let me tell you something. The devil loves to use the word. This is where you'll have to discern what you're getting. Because he said, "Jesus, make this meal," didn't he? Hello? Was the devil trying to get God to make a meal? Amen. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So you and I have got to get it in the throne room. And there's ways of getting things from God to make this meal. Did you ever eat a meal and go, "Man, this is delicious. I'm refreshed. I'm filled. I'm ready to go." After you ate something, something just hit the spot. Man, that hit the spot. You're like, whoa. So we got to understand that a meal can be directed by God or it can be directed by the devil. Is everybody with me? How many of y'all the devil is trying to feed you his meals? Amen. And you know what that brings, right? Fear, confusion, frustration, anger, bitterness, works of the flesh. In Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Remember, it says, what you eat is what you are. We've done that already, right? We've got a teaching on that. What you eat is what you are. Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 12. Would you read it with me? For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers or meal makers. You ought to be chefs by now. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is what? Unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? Babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full grown or more mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses what? exercise and discern both what is good and evil. What is good and evil. So you got to understand that this, what's trying to happen is God is saying, look it, by this time you've been walking with me long enough that you should be able to teach. And it doesn't mean going out and teach. Do you understand this? It means you should be able to be taught by the anointing. You should be able to learn how to feed yourself. In other words, you should be able to make your own meals. Amen? Make your own meals. On to be able to make your own meals. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we have an amen in the back. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the what? Pure, but first of all, it doesn't say milk, it says pure milk, of the word that you may what? Grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a what? Spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God, through Jesus Christ. Now, we're to be offering up spiritual sacrifices to God, aren't we? Well, you're not going to be able to do that unless you know how to eventually make your own meals. Amen? You got to learn how to make your own meals. That's how you maintain, isn't it? If acting like newborn babes desire the pure milk, then receive from your elders and overseers and teachers the meat. Amen? Until you're able to cook your own or make your own meal. In the meantime, you drink the meat. I mean, you drink the milk. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? And I shared this before. When the Lord started this ministry, he said he was going to put meat in a bottle. That's why people grow very fast. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what he does. Meat in a bottle. So even when babes come here, they may think they're drinking, they don't know, milk. High protein, energized, praise God. It's just juiced meat, that's all it is. In a bottle. So it allows us to grow quickly, because there's not enough time. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. The only thing you got to be careful is pride. Pride. Learning a lot of things comes with a price. It's called death. You know, you think about it, if people would start making their own meals, they wouldn't have to rely on the church. They wouldn't have to rely on so many other things. They would begin to make their own meals. Amen? When they struggle, they'd be able to go make a meal. I'm hungry. Go make a meal. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Read it with me. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Now it sounds like they were getting ready to have a party. Everybody came with a meal. Amen? Does everybody get it? Now, think about it. Have you come with something tonight? Have you come with something? Have you come with something? Have you come with a meal? If you were to be pulled out and said, listen, come on up here tonight and share. Would you be able to feed somebody your meal? Amen? That's what What you are taught is what you're supposed to teach. In other words, what you are fed, you're supposed to be able to make a meal to feed someone else. When Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. Amen? When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was lonely, you come visit me. You know, he was talking in that era about coming to those who were in need, wasn't he? Was he talking about bringing something to someone? Were they not feeding that person? Listen, so they fed that person. They fed them Christ's love. How? Well, by visiting them, by clothing them, by feeding them. Amen? They were actually feeding. It was Christ moving through them to feed them. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most, three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself, to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let him first keep silent. For you can, what? All prophesy one by one, that all may, what? Learn, and all may be, what? Encouraged. Does everybody get that? That all may, what? Learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So in other words, we should all be coming together with something. Everybody must. In other words, some people, they start praying when they get to service. They try to get right at the service instead of getting prayed up and get right before the service. Amen. And see, if they would feed themselves, sometimes you would find that God's touching them right away. You know? But you got to be careful what you feed. Feed yourself. Are you feeding yourself the things of the world? Or are you feeding yourself the things of the Spirit? And this is where you must discern what meal you're making. But everybody must come to a place where they learn to make their own meals. Amen? There are some who've come through classes, gone through schools and all kinds of stuff, and they've done very well there. But you know what? When they left, they never were able to make their own meals. And you know what they do? They go back right into the world. Remember, Jesus said, and the seed is stolen from that individual. And the seed represents the what? The word. They go right back to the old things. The Bible says those who build the house on things God set you free from is an abomination. Oh, hallelujah. So we should all be coming together for a meal. Go to Isaiah 55. Making your own meals. And to God be the glory. In verse 8, would you read it with me? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Say it again. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Say it again. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, he expresses himself in this way to express to us that, you know, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to get his thoughts and his ways in us, isn't he? Amen? In verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the what? Oh, hallelujah. Where's it coming from? from heaven, from his throne. He's trying to get something to me and you, isn't he? So what? We can eat. So shall my what? My word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Oh, to God be the glory. So even the Lord here, he's trying to get us to make a meal so that we can get his thoughts, so that we can get his ways, so that you and I are actually beginning to act and think like God does. You know, the Bible says that even Jesus, who proclaimed himself as God, even though he was recognized as the Son of God, made himself equal to God. Not that we are equal to God, but we have the same spirit as God. Does everybody understand that? Where he wants us to get in a place where we begin to think like he does and act like he does. Where we begin to express ourselves the way he expresses himself. If you look at Jesus, he was the pure example of how we should act. Amen? And people go, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, you have a spirit. You better be. Well, I'm still carnal. No, I mean, or I'm still human. Bummer. I'm not human anymore. Humans are going to die. I'm living forever. Somebody got it? I'm not human. You tell me what human being is going to live eternally. Only those who are in Christ. Right? But we're really not human. We just got this flesh suit on. It's called an earth suit. One day you'll hang it up and go home. You get tired of this place and say, I'm done on this playground, man. I'm out of here. You know, I'm looking for an eternal place to play. Glory to God. So he's trying to get us to that place where as you and I begin to make meals so that we can think the way he does. You know how many, think about this. Look at how many marriages are destroyed, how many families are broken up, how many people are got fired from jobs, whatever it may be, how much destruction there is, because even the believers, I mean, think about it. There's as much divorce and destruction in the body of Christ as there is in the world. You know why? Because people are not getting, they're not making their own meals. They're relying on everyone else. Somebody got it? Yes, we're to be together. We're to be our brother's keeper. But after everybody goes home, hello? After everybody goes home from service, after everybody goes home from Bible study, what are you doing then? Right. Absolutely right. Goo goo gaga. Just regurgitated all that meat and went back to milk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants his thoughts. His thoughts are his word. His word is the makeup or recipe to every meal. He wants us to think like him. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. And out of the mouth of babes. Hallelujah. So why do we need these meals? Well, he says, I want you to think like me. Remember, Jesus came as a humble servant. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? My son, give attention to my what?
Word.
To my meal. Incline your ear to my sayings and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what? Life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So wouldn't that be a good enough reason to make your own meals? They are life. Life represents health, prosperity. Does everybody got it? Who is life? Jesus is life, isn't he? It represents him. He says, listen, incline, pay attention. Put it in your heart. Put it in your spirit. Don't let it begin to see this meal. Know the recipe, the makeup of this meal for me and you. When we begin to make our own meals. And there's nothing wrong with remaking that same meal, isn't it? In other words, did you ever eat leftovers?
Yeah.
Praise God. Sometimes those leftovers are better than right then and there. You know why? Because it got time to settle down. Sometimes when you make something, the ingredients, they're not spread enough or they're not cooked enough. You know what I'm saying? And same thing when you make spaghetti sauce, you know? You start putting all these ingredients in there and the garlic and all this stuff, and you really can't taste it at the first, but once it's frozen and rethawed out again and it settles a little bit, utararaba, see? I'm telling you, I'm hungry. Then all of a sudden you're able to taste it. You know, did you ever get a pizza and you get pizza that doesn't have, you can tell by the sauce. That's what makes the pizza, is the sauce. That's where all the ingredients are, aren't they? You know, because the dough and the cheese, you know, whippy. It's the same. But it's the sauce, it's the ingredients, it's the makeup of it that gives it that taste. Amen? Oh, how many times have you gotten, you've just gotten fed from the Spirit of God, and you're going forward and whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, you start getting a little tired and whatever, and you start getting hungry again. Hungry for the Spirit, or some things start coming against you, and you know what you do? You go back to those leftovers. Man, you know, I gotta feed a little bit off of this here again. You know, I gotta feed off of what I just ate, this meal that I just learned or I just ate. I gotta go back and feed off of this again. And then again, you can eat off of that same meal for a period of time till you need to make another meal. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Why do we need meals? Because they're life and they're health. The word is nutrition to our spirit and transition to our soul. Everybody got it? The word is nutrition to our spirit and transition to our soul. Praise God. Confirmation. Exodus 30. The word is nutrition to our spirit and transition to our soul. Making your own meals. Exodus 30. Hallelujah. Now, of course, the devil's going to tell you don't have enough time to make your own meals. You know, you can only go out to eat so much. You know, we get busy and we go out to eat, don't we? Man, I gotta. But, you know, you can only go out to eat so much. Amen? To where you're going to have to finally make your own meal. You know, like lunchtime. Sometimes it's just, you can't make it. You know what I mean? You can't keep going out to lunch, so you prepare your lunch the day before, don't you? Sometimes. And you pull it out and you eat it and you go, man, I remember making this. I should have gone out to eat. Dear God. Hallelujah. Exodus 30 and verse 22. Would you read it with me? Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourselves quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a what? Holy anointing. Oh, what a recipe. Holy anointing oil. An ointment compounded according to the heart or the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of testimony. What are you now? Are you the Ark of Testimony? Has everybody got it? And did you see that these recipes I mean, these spices, these ingredients are put together, right? And they are put together with the oil. And what's the oil represent? Holy Spirit. The makeup or the ingredients represent the Word. Has everybody got it? That's why a lot of people are trying to just work with the Word, not the anointing. Amen? It can't hold it by itself, can it?
No.
It goes right through. You try to hold all of the spices, you do this. It'll go through your fingers. But see, when it's mixed with the anointing, it becomes workable. Amen? It becomes one. See, so what happens is when you begin to make these meals and mix it, if it's guided by the Holy Spirit, it becomes anointing for you. Does everybody got it? It becomes anointing. Now you're beginning to feed yourself. You're feeding your spirit with the same thing that God used to do creation. Hello? Oh, Batarabasi. Okay. See, now in the Old Testament, and of course even now, people would get anointed, wouldn't they? It was used for what? Special occasions, wasn't it? The anointing oil was used for special occasions. And there are times when you're going to just have to go get fed so that you can utilize this because it's a special occasion. Now, what are some of these special occasions for us now? Well, sometimes it's trouble. It may not be a celebration part. Does everybody understand? Sometimes you need to go get a meal to bring peace, to bring deliverance, to bring healing. You may need to go get a meal. It may become a balm for me in you, an ointment. It may become something to bring healing to you. Amen? Because what's the devil trying to do? Always bring you in bondage, isn't he? And Jesus is always trying, the Holy Spirit's always trying to bring freedom, isn't he? So sometimes you just got to go make your own meal. Because that special occasion that's just occurred is trouble. And there's no service going on. There's no Bible study. You're out there all by yourself. There's trouble at work. What am I going to do? Go cook. Amen. Go make a meal. Go get fed. You know, listen, you know what the world does? When they're all frustrated, they go eat, don't they? Think about it. They run, man, they fill the restaurants. People are obese because of their... Amen. They feed themselves whatever sugar there is and whatever. Amen. Why? Because when they're nervous, anxious, and fearful, and frustrated, or angry, man, they open that refrigerator. Well, man, you need to go to the throne room. Leave the refrigerator alone. That will not feed you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So we see even here, these ingredients that God put together produces an anointing, doesn't it? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Glorious. Go to John chapter 6. Make in your own meals. You know, you can only sit in front of TV and even watch Christian programs for so long. There's people I've counseled with. I said, so where are you going to church? Church? I don't go to church. I said, okay, well, what do you do? Why sit in front of the TV? Well, that's why I pray for everybody. Well, that's good. He was trying to convince me. Yes, and this guy moved from, he was an attorney, quit his job. Attorney quit his job and got involved in TV ministry. And he wasn't on TV. I'm telling you. He would call me every once in a while, man, pray with me. I said, man, cut it out, will you? He got so bound by the letter and by the law. I got to go on the Sabbath. We're separating ourselves. And, well, where are you going to church? The TV. Everything that this guy was over, I'm praying for people on the TV. I think he got nuked, you know? Anyways, he ended up calling me. I mean, here's a guy, bought stuff, went to Utah or something like that. He called me about a year later. He said, man, can you send me money? I said, no. It's like, you know, don't go to the desert. You can't grow anything in sand. Get the people from the desert and bring them to the place where they can get fed. Hello? And I shared with him. I said, man, come on home. What are you doing over there? Oh, I need money to, for what? So you can blow it some more on TV stuff? What, do you need a bigger TV to make yourself feel more comfortable like you're in church? Then later on, I come to find out he lost everything. His wife left him and everything. You know why? Because he didn't make his own meals. He couldn't make his own meals. See, he was trying to go microwave through the TV. He became a TV evangelist. But he was not in the TV. Amen. He was evangelizing, man. He was praying. I mean, people were getting healed on TV, but it wasn't him. Hallelujah. Talk about granola. That's nutty and fruity. Praise be to God. So somebody tells you he's a TV evangelist, you better find out what side he's on. Where did I say to go? John 6? John what?
John 6.
Oh. Please turn the tape over. Hallelujah. Almost ready. Glory to God. John 6. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. Is everybody there? Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. I can see people going to the TV going, no, turn that on. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying TV stuff isn't bad, okay? It's just when you become a TV evangelist, you got to be careful. John 6 and verse 53. Yeah. Hallelujah. In verse 53, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What a meal. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will what? Will live because of me. This bread, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers or the carnal or man eats and who are dead. But he who eats of this bread will what? Live forever. Man, you need to start baking your own bread. Hello? Glory to God. Go to John, chapter 1. And he who eats of me shall what? Live forever. Glory to God. In verse 14 it says, and the what? And the word became flesh. In other words, God sent me and you the greatest meal that we can get, Jesus. Amen? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Oof. The greatest meal. Now, you know, Jesus is waiting for me and you to get back home. When the body of Christ gets home, He says He's going to feed us. He's going to serve us. You know, he says, I'm not drinking no more of this wine until y'all come home to the party. Then he's going to drink with me and you. We're going to have a meal all together. So the Word became flesh. God sent, not what he sent when in the Old Testament, when they were in the wilderness, but he sent a full course meal. Amen. And he left his Spirit so that we can learn how to make our own meals. Is everybody with me? Go to Romans 15. No, go to Matthew 7. I'm sorry. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Is everybody okay? Are you getting it? So you're going to start getting it together and start making a recipe, a cookbook. See, this is a cookbook. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost cookbook. And if you don't use this book, you cook. Hallelujah. You're going to have to cook one way or another. You're either going to be the meal. Hello? Oh, to God be the glory. Matthew 7 and verse 31. Okay. Wrong one, let me tell you. Matthew 7. That's interesting. Must have been 21. Okay. Matthew 7. Wow. Glory to God. Is everybody at Matthew 7?
Yeah.
Praise God. Okay. Where did I write this down now? Okay. Praise be to God. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will like him to a what? Wise man who what? Built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the what?
Rock.
But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its what? Great was its fall. So, you know, as you're making these meals, you're actually building this house, aren't you? Remember we talked about building a spiritual house. And as, you know, if you notice that if you've fasted for a while or, you know, in the arena of the carnal realm, you become weaker. I mean, sometimes you know when your blood sugar is down. It's like, man, you know, you're out there in the sun and whatever, and you need to replenish yourself. And if you don't, you become very weak. And it's hard to difficult to work. But once you replenish yourself and so forth, you're strong enough again where you can continue to go forward. And even though the winds may come and so forth, you can be up there on a roofing, man, and you'll be, as long as you got that good lunch in you, you know, and the angels are around you and so forth, and whatever you're doing, you know, you get like another wind. You get strength, don't you? Amen? Well, it's the same thing spiritually. Because the devils are going to come and get you one way or another. They're going to try and attack you. They're going to come after you. They're going to try and pull you out of position, push you. They're going to attack you at every carnal, worldly thing possible to try to get you to eat their meal. So it's important that we learn how to make our own meals so that we're full and we don't want theirs. Amen? So that we're full. No, thank you. He's going to offer you dessert. Here's dessert. No, I'm full. Amen? Is that unleaded? No. Hallelujah. Go to Romans 15. The Word tells us that we're to seek the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto us. Amen. Amen? So you're supposed to go seek the kingdom of God, get a meal, make a meal, knowing that all things will be added unto you. Romans 15. Oh, praise God. Verse 16. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be what? Added unto you. Romans. What did I say to go? Man, I'm writing this stuff down wrong. Devil's trying to give me some different spices. I go to Romans 14 in verse 16. Praise God. Did you ever get a bunch of calls while you're trying to make a meal? Amen. And you put the wrong seasoning in there. Oh, man, what did I just do? Or you overcooked it. You get caught up on the phone or talking to somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Be careful. Don't overcook that meal or put the wrong ingredients in it. In Romans 14 and verse 16, therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Oh, hallelujah. But what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So you're taking those ingredients and you're making it with who? The Holy Spirit. Has everybody got it? It's the same thing how they make the anointing oil. They take the spices, right? They mix it with the olive oil and it becomes anointing oil. You take the word, guided by the Holy Spirit, He gives you a meal that is anointed. It will bring you strength, it will bring you peace, it will bring you joy, and it will bring you righteousness. Has everybody got it?
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad everybody got one person got it here. Making meals brings peace, joy, and righteousness. It's got to be directed by the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 27. Would you read it with me? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone what? Teach you. Why? Because the anointing's teaching you. Is the anointing teaching you right now? Amen. Does everybody got it? See, it doesn't mean that you don't go to church and get fed. You can. But it's the anointing that's teaching you. See, that without the Holy Ghost, you can't get taught. Does everybody understand there? You don't want just uncooked meals. No sushi, right? The Bible says don't eat it when you see the blood, the meat, right? Yeah. It's got to be cooked. The Holy Spirit's the one that digests the meal. He's the regenerator. He's the one that brings it in place. He's the one that grants you understanding. He's the one that puts it right into the place when you need it. You know, some of us have been slacking off from making meals and relying on the church to feed you. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with getting fed by the church. But the church doors are not open all the time, are they? Well, this church is anyways, but praise God. But most church doors aren't open all the time. Amen? So there's just times, there's a time when you've got to learn how to make your own meal so that you can be sustained. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you don't need that anyone teach you or feed you. But as the same anointing feeds you or teaches you is concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him that when he appears we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Hallelujah. Well, wait a minute. We just talked about the meal. What's it going to produce? Peace, joy, and what? Righteousness. Why? Because the kingdom of God is being manifested because the meal is coming from the Holy Spirit. Go to Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? So next time somebody comes up to you and starts saying all kinds of stuff or tries to suck you in the ring, who's a believer, ask them what they ate that day. Man, what'd you eat today? Nothing, I can tell. Go make a meal. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. What's the dust of the ground? Dirt. You know what it's made from? The Word. Has everybody got it? It was made from the Word. Nothing was created that wasn't created through him and for him. Well, who is he? He's the Word. Everything you see right here, everything. Everything is made from the Word. Everything, you and I, this flesh we have is made from the Word. Why? Because the Bible says faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. What's the Word? The Word is tangible. It's substance. It's tangible. God took the Word. He made the Word, right? He sent the Word. Created all things. All matter, all tangible things, even the angels. His Word created the angels. His Word created everything. He took the Word, and from the Word, he stuck his hand into the dust, right? And it says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of what? What's the word? Spirit means what? Breath. So he took the Word, didn't he? And he took the Word, and he anointed it. And it became a living... Listen, I want you to understand something. That same Word that created the dust that God breathed in, that same Word creates hearts, creates livers. Does everybody understand it? That same Word creates. Does everybody understand it? It creates. It creates eyes. It creates ears. That same Word. That same Word that is anointed. That's all you need to do is eat that meal. Does everybody get it? That's all you have to do is eat. Look what Jesus did. Remember when the man that was blind, what did he do? He took dirt and what did he do? What did he do? He anointed it. What was he doing? He was creating sight. And he rubbed it. And the man got new eyes. That same Word, that same meal that you're making brings life. It creates. You know one of the things it does? Creates. And what did David say? Create in me a what? New heart. Did somebody say car? Oh. Creates in me a what? New heart. Created me a what? New heart. What was David saying? He was getting fed, wasn't he? Amen? Look at all the Psalms David wrote. Man, that dude had a cookbook that could kick butt. Oh, hallelujah. That meal can produce creation, health, and manifestation in your life. The meal brings creation. Now we know that there's nothing new under the sun. It calls those things that are not as though they are. So many times we just read the word as the word. Oh, it's just a word. No. It's create. God sent His word, substance, that can be anointed. Look at what the word's built already. Everything. Now when God breathed, put life into His word, it became like Him. Then you and I were created in His image and likeness. Has everybody got it? We are created in His image and likeness. What did He do? He took His word and His spirit. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 28. The first area of preparing a meal. First avenue of preparing a meal. Isaiah 27, or 28. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 9. Isaiah 28 and verse 9. Whom will He teach knowledge? And whom will He make to understand the message? It sounds like a recipe on its way. Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. The word will always confirm itself. With stammering lips and another tongue, He will speak to these people whom He said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. First avenue of preparing a meal is prayer. It's prayer. Is everybody with me? It's prayer. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. It's prayer. Here He's talking about getting revelation knowledge through prayer by praying in tongues. You need a meal? Start praying in the Holy Ghost. Separate yourself. Go pray in the Holy Ghost. Praise and worship the Lord. Go get a meal. Right from His throne room. Pray in the Holy Ghost and worship the Lord. Don't go to your word. Go to the true word. Has everybody got it? Don't go to the letter. Go to the Creator. See, once you pray in the Spirit, you begin to worship Him, you begin to seek the kingdom of God, the next thing you know, something happens. Something happens. A word may come. A revelation may come. Something. Amen? That's the first avenue of preparing a meal is prayer. Praying in the Spirit, worshiping the Lord. Separating yourself to God. Don't go to the phone, go to the throne. Amen? Don't call for a delivery, go make your own. Oh, hallelujah. There's just sometimes that what meal is available for you in other places is not pertaining to your circumstance. It's not pertaining to your need right then. Amen? That's when you need to just go make your own meal. You know, people get in trouble. They're devastated. They're trying to figure a way for finances. They're trying to figure a way for this, for that, whatever. They need to get direction, counsel, direction, you know, whatever it may be. Yes, God has the body of Christ there available for us. But one of the things that we need to do eventually is learn how to make our own meals and go get it. And if you're not sure how long to cook it, then you go to the office. Get confirmation. Make sure you got the right ingredients. Go to Psalm 119. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a what? Light to my path. Your meal is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Sometimes it only takes one word. You know, you may go, well, how do I go get a meal? Let's say your circumstance, finances. Then you go, take the word finances. Prosperity, go look it up. Take that word and do a word study. Amen. Fear, whatever is your circumstance. Rejection, I don't care what it is. You take that word and you go do a word study. Is everybody with me? You want to make a meal? First you got to start it with what? Prayer. You start with prayer and the Holy Spirit will begin to direct you. Guilt, condemnation. You grab that one word and you go do a word study. Marriage. Amen? Raising children, whatever it may be, you take that word and you go do a word study. You go to concordances, you do... dictionaries, whatever, something to get you started. Holy Ghost dictionary, you just pray in the Spirit, He'll start giving you stuff. Amen. You know, even books, there's nothing wrong with reading books. Amen? You can go get a book and get some good recipes out of a book. Ooh-wee! You can get some good recipes. You can find a book where you're trying to do a word study, whether it be on humility, pride, prosperity, whatever, you can go get a word study right out of a book and go read it and get fed. Or you can take the ingredients out of there and make your own meal pertaining to you. But you got to learn to make your own meals. Go to Proverbs 15. Verse 22. It says, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are what? Established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Man, sometimes it just takes one word from God to set you free. That's all it takes. Go to verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to what? Answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Matthew 8. A couple more scriptures and we're done. Matthew 8. You know, I really want to emphasize the importance of making your own meals. Matthew chapter 8. In verse 8. Then a centurion answered and said to the Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only what? Speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Oh man, it just took one word. One word. One word, and it was over with. One word will change your life. One meal can change your life. You know that? One word to change your life, bring understanding, set your life right on the correct course. John 21. Praise be to God. John 21, verse 15. like I said, one of the things that the devil always says is you don't have enough time. That's why there's a saying that says, make time. Do you know you have the power to make time? Hallelujah. You have the power to make time. You have the power to forgive. Right? You have the power to make time. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He answered him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So he went from feed my lambs, babies, tend my sheep, and then feed my sheep. Who's the sheep? We are. Amen. Tend means in fellowship. There's a time when we get together. There's a time when we get fed corporately, and there's a time when we make our own meals. Is everybody with me? And I'm going to close at John 8. John chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, in other words, if you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's all it takes, is one meal to bring freedom. Amen? One meal to bring healing. One meal to bring position, one meal, one word. That's all it takes. But we must begin to learn how to make our own meals. And those meals must be directed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Listen, when the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. When the Holy Spirit says, separate yourself. When the Holy Spirit says, don't do this. You know why? Because He knows that the powers of darkness, the world is trying to feed you a meal. If you eat of it, it could harm you. Amen. Did you ever eat something that got you sick? Amen. See, when we learn how to make our own meals and the ingredients from the Holy Spirit, you'll become healthy, wealthy, strong. Amen. You'll be able to stand. You'll be that house that's built on the foundation of the rock of Christ, no matter what comes your way. Why? Because you will have the thoughts of God. You'll have eternal thoughts instead of temporary thoughts. Does everybody understand that? Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your word. Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus on every seed that's been planted here tonight, that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory, Lord, that you'll give each and every one a hunger and a thirst, and anything that the devil's been feeding anyone in this room that was about to do something that was not right in your eyes in any way. Lord, rescue them. Open their ears, eyes, and hearts that they may know the truth, that the truth will set them free. That they may abide in your presence and eat those things from your throne room, the true living bread, Christ. Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one here tonight. Visit them. Visit them, Daddy. Protect them, guide them, and continue to draw them onto you as you prepare us for your return and as you prepare us to move through us, that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.